Good morning, everyone. Good morning. The first class of the new year, so Be'ezrat Hashem, we should learn a lot of Torah together. We should, God willing, be authentic. We shouldn't fake it in the name of Torah, God forbid. We shouldn't start putting in our own observations into the Torah and say, oh, this is what God said, but rather this is what I said. And God willing, as the Gemara says in Masechet Brachot, that Rabbi Nechonya ben Akana, when before he began a class, always said, Shlo kashel b'davar halacha, God forbid we shouldn't make mistakes around this table in halachic issues. And all of that. So there's Rav Hashem, everything will be wonderful for a good year ahead.
I think there's another famous Rav Stoller with a joke.
Yes.
What? That's to wake up the crowd.
I got many. You're absolutely right. I wanted to, of course, dedicate this year to the memory of my father. I am in the year of mourning for my father, so this year is dedicated in the memory of my father, Tzvi Meir ben Moshe Yonatan. And much to my dismay, yesterday, my first Rebbe in yeshiva that I was connected to for the last 20-something years passed away in Alon Shvut, right close to us, Rav Binyamin Yehuda Tavori, Zichrono Levracha. He was my first Rebbe in yeshiva, and if you talked about jokes, Bruce, he was the one Rebbe that in one class could, with a photographic memory, give a wonderful shiur, intertwined with excellent jokes and wonderful stories, and all in one class. And always started on time and ended on time. So if I've ever been able to keep you awake, it's probably in tribute to him. And Be'ezrat Hashem, this shiur should be in his memory as well. The shiur I want to give today, but to be more precise for the rest of the year, is going to be what I would like to brand and call as follows. You can, of course, help me with the title, but the title I've chosen is Observation of a Minyanair Mourner. As everybody here recalls, we did a class for the entire year on davening. With God's help, this produced my first book called Daven Your Age, and I wrote a book on davening, of how to daven like an adult and like a five-year-old, or to be more precise, a fifth grader, because that's the last time we learned how to daven, when we were in fifth grade, and we didn't shave yet, and the teacher told us stand and sit, and unfortunately, from then on, we never learned how to daven. And therefore, we spent the whole year about davening. I want to now do, not a second volume, I don't know if this ever will come out, but maybe it will, and that is to try to talk about what it's like to be in Minyan throughout the year, and be a mourner. One of the things we do in the Ashkenazic communities is that we don't daven usually on Shabbos and Yontif. That's the minhag for Avelim. And therefore, there's a catch-22. You have to get to davening on time to make that first Kaddish. Then you have to suffer through terrible chazanim throughout the time and see various, how can I say this nicely, bad habits going on in shul. And therefore, I'd like to call the shiur I'm about to give throughout the year Observations of a Minyanair Mourner. But God willing, with God's help, I've been in Minyan for many years, not just this year, but this year many things came to me and I'd like to share them here. Now, Perush Rashi, that means I'm going to let off steam every week about some terrible chazan or some absolutely ignoramus gabbai, not to mention no common sense between them two, and you're going to hear it. So whoever wants to hear me let off steam is welcome to come. Whoever it's too much for wants to live with the way it is, live and let live, I would suggest come after my shiur. But this morning, because Bruce asked me to give a gabbai shiur, I'm not going to be so hard on the chazanim, I want to be hard on the mourners, namely the people that ultimately we call say Kaddish. Even in Yiddish we call them Kaddish Zogers. Now, the people that say Kaddish are people that are very close to my heart, especially this year. But I have to admit, if you look at Kaddish in terms of its, I would say, transformation, you'd see something fascinating. And that is what we do today is very different than the way it was done for many generations. So therefore, if you come to this class and you say, halacha never changes. Halacha maybe never changes, but the minhagim for sure have changed, and we're going to see that today. If you look on the source sheet, let's start with the following. The Maharam Mintz. Have you ever heard of the Maharam Mintz? Know anyone named Mintz?
His bookstore.
Yeah? Very good. Minzer is the bookstore, that's correct. The Maharam Mintz lived around the very end of the Rishonic period. He died in 1480. He was at
Minsk.
There's Minsk, there's Mainz, this is Mintz. So the Maharam Mintz has a tshuva, a responsum, which obviously was written why? Outside of the Trumat Hadeshin, why do you write responsum?
Somebody asked a question.
Your name?
Reuven.
Everyone throughout the summer, you should know, who didn't hear these recordings, asked me, when is the next shiur? And who are the people around the table? They never have asked me throughout the summer, listen, I listened to your shiur, I have a question. They all wanted to know, who was that guy that kept on bothering you? And who was that guy who answered his phone? That's what they want to know. So state your name for the record here.
Reuven
said correctly that if someone asks you a question, the proper way to answer is to write a tshuva. Namely, you put in sources and you write the answer. That was the classical way, and I hope will be the contemporary way, people answer questions. Not with a what's up, yes, no, but rather with sources. So the Maharam Mintz is asked a question, or to be more precise, he writes an answer, and obviously from the answer you can glean that they asked him the following question. Yeah?
You had mentioned that someone, I think you mentioned, someone wrote a sefer of answers to questions you would like to have asked, but it wasn't asked, and you made them up.
I did mention about a second ago. Okay, I'm going to be nice to you, Bruce, first day. A minute ago. The Truma Sadesha. Rav Yisrael Isselin wrote a responsum book, but no one ever asked him questions. He made up the questions, but a wonderful book. This was obviously a question. Listen to this. Yana Sherayiti Bechama Mekamot. Oh, golly, I have seen in many places. Yesh chilukim ben toshavu ben areach bekadish yatom. There is differences with regard to a member of the community versus a visitor when it comes to kaddish. And then he brings four different minhagim. You can see it on the source sheet. Some places, the member overrides the person coming in from the outside. Sometimes the guy in Shiva overrides the guy in Shloshim. Sometimes the guy who has Yortzeit, Mishi Yom Shemekbo Abu Ein, who goes first if two people have Yortzeit. V'yesh mekomot min hagam de mishpat echad lager v'le'ezrach ha'aretz. Anyone know what that means? It makes no difference. First come, first serve. Lachen itpakashti po, and therefore I was asked, Me'ek kihilat kodesh babnabrik, I don't know where that is, l'sadera davar, kidei lo a'ati la'ansuye. Anyone want to translate? I was asked by the community to make some order so that people wouldn't fight with each other. Okay, what are they fighting about?
Who says kaddish?
Namely, how many people said kaddish?
One.
Per davening, one. And comes along the Maharam Mintz and says, I'm going to make some Seder here because, quite frankly, there's a lot of fight. And he goes on to say, in every community it's different. Ze omer b'cho, v'ze omer b'cho. Some say this, some say that. Lo re'id ze k're'ize, v'lo re'id ze k're'ize. Every community is different. It's amazing. Some communities, a guy has Yortzeit, he overrides everyone. And some communities, a guy has Shloshim, overrides a guy with Yortzeit. And we got to make some order here. Yeshomim bechol minhag, yeshomim bechol minhag. This is an Ashkenazic line par excellence. What do you do in an Ashkenazic community when there's a debate about do you say or don't you say? Tachanun, yes or no. Avarachamim, yes or no. What do people say? They don't just say, I believe you should say Avarachamim, or I believe you shouldn't. What do they say?
You're wrong.
No, they don't say you're
those
wrong.
Who want to
they're
say
nicer. That. Your name?
Barry.
Barry says, you're nicer, Reuven. Did you hear Barry? You're wrong.
No.
A little more nicer, diplomatic. Unquote.
Those who want to say
yesh omrim b'chol minhaga, v'yesh omrim b'chol minhag. Our minhag is to say avarachamim. You never heard that before? That's only in Ashkenazic communities. As you know, Ashkenaz, Roshei Tevot Ashkenaz means Ein She'elot Kacha Nohagim Zeu. This is the custom, keep your mouth shut and sit down. Rosh Chodesh Elul makes sense to start Slichos. We start a week before, but sometimes it's 4 days before. That's the Minhag. So what do they do in Ashkenazi communities? This is our Minhag. And guess what? It's not just in our generation. 1400s, they were saying the same thing. It's our minhag. This guy says Kaddish. It's our minhag. That says Kaddish. Comes along, the Maharam Mintz says, I'm going to make some order. And he writes a long tshuva, who goes first, who goes second, the pecking order. And finally, he makes a tshuva.
Why isn't that a fine answer? If they have a custom a certain way, why shouldn't that work?
It's a very fine answer if everyone agrees on the custom. But you know what happens when they argue? Everyone says, our custom is. You know, our custom is yes, our custom is no. That's amazing how one shul can have two customs. That's a good one. No, Bruce, answer the question. Where are we now? We're in a shul, in Eretz Yisrael, in the Holy Land of Israel, in the wonderful city of Ephrat. Is there a rabbi in the shul? There's many, many people, but is there a rabbi who decides? No. Number two, Bruce, let's not be naive with each other, okay? Even if there's a rabbi in the shul, what do you think? He decides, everyone says, the rabbi said, let's move on. I said Ashkenazi communities. I didn't talk about Sephardic communities. They're very different. Yeah. In Ashkenazi communities, the rabbi has a voice and an opinion amongst many. No! Now, you would say, all right, 1400s, they fought about this. Now we're in a new generation. Have you ever seen a fight about this?
Yeah.
You did. Where?
In my shul, in Chutz Laaretz.
In Chutz Laaretz, Arthur, you saw it?
Yeah.
All right, so Arthur says he's living in the year 2019 and he's seen it. So a little before you, Arthur, greatest respect to Arthur, the Biur Halacha. Who is the Biur Halacha? His mommy didn't call him Clear Halacha. Clear Halacha, clean your own! What's his real name? The Biur Halacha is the super parish on the Mishnah Berurah. Who wrote the Mishnah Berurah? Oh, thank you. Everyone drank coffee so far, we're good. The Chafetz Chiz Coca-Cola is this. You, Arthur?
What?
You brought the cola?
Yeah.
Good man. I want to remind everyone of the rules of this place. Whoever comes here without coffee, or God forbid, you don't need coffee, but whoever comes here, not being awake, you will be embarrassed publicly. So be aware and be careful. No, I'm just joking. I don't embarrass anyone publicly, but everything's recorded. Biur Halacha lived in the end of the 19th into the 20th century. The Chafetz Chaim died in 1933. So he's writing the Biur Halacha, and guess what? There's a siman about whatever, and he goes along and he says, Kuntres Ma'amar Kadishin. Now what does that mean?
Notes.
Notes? A kuntres is not a notes. Kuntres is like, it's not a book.
Collection.
I would call it a master's thesis. Not even a master's thesis. It's a paper. He's writing a paper on the words of Kaddish. Why? Why are you writing such a big paper? Now, if you look in the Biur Halacha, you're going to see it's this thick, meaning it's long. I cut it here. Why? Because people were fighting about it, even in the end of the 19th, it's the 20th century. And he goes on to say, Chamisha chilukim hem be'amirat Kaddish. There are five different levels of Kaddish. One, Shiva. Two, Shloshim. Three, Yud Bet Chodesh, namely the year of mourning. Four, Yom HaHafsaka. Anyone want to know what that means? The first week of school, so Hafsaka means recess, but Harold knows.
If you have your mother dies and your father dies in the same year, so the day before, or the day before, you stop one day and it continues for the year.
Well, first of all, I hope, Harold, your mother and your father don't die in the same year. That's very, very difficult. But even if they, Bezrat Hashem, don't, if the Yom HaHafsaka means exactly what you said, namely the day you're going to stop Kaddish. Our minhag is to say Kaddish for 11 months, because we say the worst Gehenim is 12 months, and therefore no one's a Rosh HaGomor, everyone has a little tzadikut, so we say he's not going to be there for the full 12 months. And in order not to differentiate between the Jewish people, we go ahead and we say everyone 11 months. From Abshomo Zalman Auerbach to the biggest Shabbos desecrator, 11 months. Do we do that a lot in Jewish law? Equate between people?
Yes.
Anyone want to give me an example? Calling. Tomorrow we're going to lane. Give me an example from laning.
Calling people get called up for Aliyah.
Oh, very good. You'll call up a Kohen. Now, true, the Gemara does say that maybe a rabbi who's a big Talmid Chacham go override the Kohen, but in general, our minhag is a Kohen always goes first, regardless of his level. Right?
But
let's go a step further. Who reads the Torah?
The what?
Who reads the Torah? The laner. What do you mean the laner? The guy who should make the bracha should read the Torah. Why do we have the laner? In order not to embarrass the one that doesn't know. So we do this a lot in Halacha. When the guys brought Bikurim, some people knew Arami Oved Avi by heart, some didn't. So we always said, people are not going to come to bring it because they'll be embarrassed. They don't know how to say Arami Oved Avi. So therefore, the Kohen always said it for them. So we do this a lot in Halacha. Across the board, everyone's equal. So Yom HaHafsaka, going back to our story after that commercial break. Let's go back to the program. Yom HaHafsaka, the day you finish Kaddish. So you understand, you're finishing Kaddish. You're not going to say it again. Just in case you didn't understand, Mishnah Berurah, Chafetz Chaim, wonderful man. When I was a kid, he was the epitome of tzaddikus. They wanted to give you a compliment. Usually teachers didn't give compliments in those years. They usually did the opposite. But if they actually gave you a compliment, you're such a nice boy like the Chafetz Chaim. So the Chafetz Chaim for me is always the epitome of tzaddikus and a Talmud Chacham. He explains, because he's such a nice guy, to everyone around this table, Dahainu sheposek po b'yomar kaddish. And number five, yortzeit. So the Mishnah Berurah comes along and says there's five levels of kaddish. Shiva, shloshim, yud bet kodesh, the day you stop saying kaddish, and yortzeit. Got it?
Is this order the order of precedent?
Oh, we'll get to that. V'tam chalukot elu umadvergutam nisnir sheyistu chazal lefi midat adin amatuach v'hakadish hu lahagen. Some of the Mishnah Berurah says, why do you say kaddish? Because if someone dies, it's like a direct hit on you. God went ahead and said, I'm not going to make a tragedy for all the Jewish people, like destroying the Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to make a tragedy for you. So what did God do? He took you off autopilot and he made a tragedy for you. You lost a loved one. So therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, the way you understand kaddish, which is higher or lower, what's the pecking order, is based on which person has the din matuach, which person is in a situation which is the most dangerous for him. And he goes on to say, number one, shiva. Shiva, very bad. But that's basically when you're sitting shiva right after the death. Next is shloshim, which needs more rachamim than yud bet chodesh, says the Mishnah Berurah. You need more mercy. Number three, yortzeit. Why is yortzeit the next of the pecking order? If you would have asked me, I would have said yud bet chodesh. No, yortzeit. Why? Oh, shibotoy yom itra mazalo shel avel. Bad mazal, that's the day your loved one died. Like the Levush said, number two, because that's the name they need a lot of rachamim, a lot of mercy, and therefore it's very appropriate to say Kaddish. Yom Hafsakah comes next, that's the day you finish saying Kaddish, and he explains what to do, and finally, he goes on and says, what's the last one on the list? So we covered Shiva Shloshim, Yortzeit, Yom Hafsakah, Yud Bet Chodesh is the last.
So
just to let everyone know, Kaddish for 12 months, 11 months to be precise, it's the last of the pecking order of the Biur Halacha. Now, everyone now can now sit back and say, with the greatest respect, Grunstein, why did you just waste our time? Now, why do I say that, Arthur? Explain your life. No.
Why do you say that?
Why do I say that? No, Reuven, any ideas? I just wasted everyone's time. 15 minutes, we're sitting here, we're babbling on. Who has the right to Kaddish? The Yortzeit, the Yud Bet Chodesh. Why is this just very theoretical in the year 2019?
Because everybody who's
in the Harold, let's say, because everybody says Kaddish together. In almost every shul we see, except for Arta Shul and Chutz La'aretz. Now, are we doing right? Are we doing wrong? Or I like to say, is it praiseworthy, is it tolerable, or is it a big sin?
I did see a show in Baltimore, I don't remember where it was, that they only had one Christmas.
So let's see. Comes along the Chatam Sofer. You heard of the Chatam Sofer? Right? Chadash Asur Min HaTorah, new things are terrible. Well, all of a sudden the Chatam Sofer is coming to us this morning and saying, new things are wonderful! Look at this! Ach Nirali! I went to Sephardic shuls, or I heard that in Sephardic shuls, everybody says Kaddish together. There is no pecking order. Anyone that wants to say Kaddish says it. Then he goes on to say, V'hagaon Morenu Harav Yabetz. Who's the Yabetz? Rav Yaakov Emden. Remember his big fight with my ancestor, Rav Yonatan Eibishitz? Okay. Rav Yaakov Emden writes in his Siddur, Eineni mitapel bidinei kaddish. I don't deal with kaddish. Namely, the pecking order of kaddish. The Mara Mintz, after Rav Yaakov Emden. The Mishnah Berurah. I don't deal with it. Imagine you go up to a rabbi, you ask him for a psak halacha, and he says, with the power vested in me, as the rabbi of this congregation, I have decided I shouldn't mix in. Rav Yaakov Emden said, I'm not mixing in. Why? Why isn't he dealing with it? No, look in the page. This is not Torah Shebaal Peh over here. Don't look at me. Look at the page. This is more interesting than me. Ki nachon min hagasfaradim sheyomu kol achat. The Sfaradim are right. Everyone should say Kaddish together. V'chein anu nohagim po bevet midrashenu. The Chasam Sofer says, this is what I do in my base medrash. He was a Rosh Yeshiva. And he goes on to say that's only in Kaddish de Rabbanan. And then he says in the Beit HaKnesset, in the Shul, Kesheyesh Shum Pilpul Ben Avelim, and the minute the Avelim start fighting, I say, don't fight. Everyone say Kaddish together. We got the Sephardic Minag, nice idea. All right, that's pretty good. So Shul in Baltimore, your Shul in Chutz La'aretz, shall we remain nameless, comes to Chasam Sofer and says, I got a great idea. Take the Maharam mints, put the Bir Halacha in a museum. This is the way the Jews used to fight. But today, we don't fight. We got the Sephardic Minhag, and all we do is everyone says Kaddish. Just to let you know, he's not alone. Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. Who was the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch? You know what the amazing thing about works that were done, and you went ahead and you made a Kitzer, you made the book smaller? Usually it's nice. But sometimes it has nothing to do with the original. One of those examples is the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. Rav Shlomo Ganzprit, sitting in Hungary, A, put in a lot of chumras, and B, didn't go based on the Shulchan Aruch, page by page, chapter by chapter, and made it abbreviated. He did his own thing. Therefore, he called it a Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, but it's not. It's actually an oxymoron. It's actually not an abbreviation of the Shulchan Aruch. You should know there was one person alive that said, do not, in the life of you, make an abbreviation to my book. The Chaye Yadam. Does anyone tell me why? The Chaye Yadam was a grocer in Vilna. The Chaye Yadam, Rav Danzig, he came along and said, I wrote the Chaye Yadam, a halachic work, do not make a Kitzer Chaye Yadam. Anyone know why? Because it sounds awful. What's Kitzer Chaye Yadam? Thank you. Imagine how you have to wake people up. Not at the beginning of the class to joke, in the middle of the class, Bruce. You understand what we're dealing with here? All right, Bruce. As I leave, I want you to reprimand everyone for not being awake. I have to say a joke in the middle of that. Okay, we can say a few more jokes. Rav Yaakov Memden's Siddur that was quoted from is a very interesting Siddur because there's basically a lot of additions to it that people didn't understand. If you're making additions, you're actually going ahead against Rav Yaakov Memden. Rav Yaakov Memden, for example, said not to say, I believe, Seitchem L'Shalom on Friday night because you don't want the angels to leave. In his Siddur, you open up, it's written in there. Well, that's a funny one. You want to hear a better one? He said not to say Yigdal. Yigdal is coming before God and saying, I believe in the 13 attributes of faith and I'm going to say it. He said that's a Christian thing to say what you go ahead and believe in. Belief is over here. It's not in your mouth and you shouldn't say it. And it's written in the Perush, in the Rav Yaakov Emden Siddur, right under, take a wild guess, Yigdal. Yigdal is written, and under it it says, whoever says this is a vicious, terrible person. He should burn in hell. God bless him.
Is this in the Siddur?
In the Siddur. Anyone that wants to see, not the original of Yaakov Emden Siddur, the one that they sell today. Siddur Yabet Siddur Yaakov Emden. So that's the Siddur where he says this. Now, Kitzer Shulchan Aruch of Ganzprit, sitting in the 19th century, Kesheyesh Haber Avelim Rachmanu Litzlan, As Kedei Shelo Yavol Lidei Ktatot Umerivot, Noagim Bamei Mekomot Shomim Betul Gimel Biyachat. He says, hey, I'm listening in Hungary. We say a few people together. So the Chasam Sofer is in Hungary. He's in Hungary. No problem. Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Eliezer Waldenberg, died in the year 2000 and something, I forgot. He was the posig of Shari Tzedek. He says, what does that mean? Hamlatza. So Bruce is going to write a book. The book is going to be called The Tales of the Kollel. He's going to write all the secrets. He's going to get all of us mad at him. Because the minute you write about people, people get upset at you. So in this book, he can't just sell it. He wants a hamlatza, a recommendation. What's a hamlatza? A recommendation. So come, haskama is a little different. I'm not going to deal with haskamot this morning. I can just tell you one thing. If you ever read the Haskamot, with the exception of a few, usually it says as follows. The great rabbi, superlatives for two sentences, Rabbi X wrote this beautiful book, and even though I don't have time to read it, and I never looked at it, it's a wonderful book, you should all read it. Thus, Haskamot is another one of those contradictions we have. Like Kiddush Rabbah is a small Kiddush, and Yom Miyuchas is really not a special day. Haskama. It's not a haskama because the guy said, I never read it, I don't know what it says, but read it, here you go. There are exceptions to that rule. Rav Yaakov Ariel, for example, the former chief rabbi of Ramat Gan, anytime he gives a haskama, he writes a haskama, I read the book, and here is my refutations. And I love reading his haskama because that's a true haskama. It's an honest haskama. Hamlatza means a recommendation. So I recommend The Sephardic Minhag says the Tzitz Aliyah, so I'm living in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim already is a conglomeration of many exiles. We call that the ingathering of exiles. A lot of Olim Chadashim from different countries. So Arthur comes from a shul where they only said one Kaddish, and maybe Arthur comes from a Sephardic shul, and you come from an American shul, and some come from a Canadian shul. If you really, really, really want to go ahead and be Machmir, South African shuls, Australian shuls, and this is only the Anglo communities, and I'm going to talk about other ones. I personally say, go with the Sephardic Minhag. Everyone says Kaddish. The Pitchei Tshuva. Now this Pitchei Tshuva, I have to admit, I didn't know. I learned Yoredeya. I learned Siman Shin, Ayin Vav, which is one of the Simanim that deal with Avelus, namely mourning. And somehow I didn't make any issue out of this. We're living in a generation where there's a lot of people that call other people neo-reform Jews. Or, in a more American term, they go against the Mesorah. Have you ever heard those things?
Sure.
You know, women want to do something in Shul. It's against our Mesorah. It's a neo-reform thing. Well, I always thought this is a thing for the 21st century. Guess what? The Pitchei Tshuva, who wrote a Perush on the Shulchan Aruch. It's on the bottom. He brings many contemporary poskim, including the Chasam Sofer, 19th century. He writes, Ayein Beshut Divrei Igeret. So I didn't know what the Divrei Igeret was. I never heard of it. If you look in the English on the bottom of the page, you're going to see Rav Menachem Mendel Steinhardt, 18th century Germany, one of three members of what's called the Vad Arba HaRatzot. They were the ones that decided for the Jewish people how to run their communities. Published this pamphlet in 1812 with justified ritual innovations introduced by this body. Amongst them, listen to this, lifting the ban of kitniot on Pesach and abolishing the practice of Oshanot and Chibut Arava. If you want to make a list, which days should we not bring in non-Jewish guests to see us in shul? Which days would you put on the list? Probably Oshana Rabba. Why? Imagine people come into the shul and what they see is like this.
Actually,
not nice. So we don't want to bring him in Yom Kippur. That's nice.
I try not to invite them to Kiddush
Levana
either.
Kiddush Levana, okay. Good point, Reuven. So, this Divrei Yigeret had a lot of innovations. Now, the innovations on the bottom of the page are huge. Chibut Arava is a minhag nevim. It's written in the Gemara. Hoshana Rabbah is an ancient thing. Not to mention kidney. All of a sudden, we come now to our issue. That's small compared to the rest. So the Divrei Yigeret says the following. B'medinato tiken shekol ha'avilim yomru kulam kadish yachad. One of my innovations is, why do we have to fight about Kaddish? Everyone should say it together. The Gesher Achayim comes along and says, V'zora achola, I saw a sick evilness in shul. What's the sick evilness I saw in shul? Ra'iti, my two eyes saw, sheyeshnam avilim mitkotetim, ve'osim achloket bevet ha'kneset b'shvil ha'kaddish. I, Rabbi Tikhochinsky, came to shul, and I saw two mourners fight. Who's going to get the Kaddish? Who's going to get the right of way for Kaddish? Terrible. Why? Halokol matrata kadishu letaken et avon chilul Hashem ulekadesh shem shamayim. What's the reason for kaddish?
Unite Jews.
No.
That was for the soul of the departed.
We'll get to that. Kaddish, he says, lekadesh shem shamayim yitgadal veyitkadash mei rabah. And what do? They make a chilul Hashem. They fight. We're about to make kaddish shem shamayim. Yeshem yichud gishu brichu. Let's curse each other. Awful. So as you can see here, the Chasam Sofer, quoting the Yabetz, Mr. No Innovations says, great idea, Kitzah Shulchan Aruch, Tzitz Eliezer, Pitchei Tshuva, in the name of this innovative book called Divrei Yigeret, I'll say, let's forget about the beginning of the class, take a marker, take a pencil, take a pen, or, because you got the sources on computer, erase the whole beginning of the class, the whole source sheet will be on two pages instead of three. Irrelevant! Everyone can say Kaddish together. What's the big deal? Well, obviously, if all these people said to say Kaddish together, what can we glean from their words? Since they all quoted this, a new minhag, it's a nice idea, we should do it.
Well,
what's the subtext?
The traditional mode of doing it. It wasn't the traditional mode.
Rovin says correct. They're saying it's a new thing. Obviously, the old thing was one person said Kaddish. Maybe that explains why there's so many Kaddishim in davening. With due respect, why do you have to say Kaddish de Rabbanon and a regular Kaddish at the beginning of davening? Again, at the end of davening, especially at this time of the year, we load it on. We have a Kaddish after Shir Shal Yom. We have a Kaddish after Aleinu. You have a Kaddish after L'David Hashem Ori, and we have a Kaddish after Enki Elokeinu. In Chutz Laaretz, Ashkenazi communities follow the Minhag HaRamah not to say Enki Elokeinu during the week. Anybody know why?
Takes too long.
That's probably the real reason. So the Ramah brings more credence to what he says, Harold. He says, it says, with regard to the Ketorah Tassamim that we say, that every day they brought the Ketorah Tassamim twice in the Beis HaMikdash, that you have to put in 11 ingredients, and if you forget one, ve'im chaser achad michosem memanea, chayav mita. So we don't want to die. So even though we're just saying it, we're not bringing it, we don't want to forget anything. We're very much in a rush. So we don't say it. On Shabbos, we got plenty of time. So that's the only day of the week we say it.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, Reuven.
So we're talking about Kaddish, which seems to be the Kaddish to Rabban and the Kaddish to Yitron, if that's how you say it. But today we still seem to have the fight over who gets to be the Shliach.
So Reuven, this whole shiur, Reuven is correct.
Can clarify between these two issues.
Reuven is correct. Today we have a residue of this, and that is who gets to be the Shliach Tzibur during the week. You're right. That's the residue left. But here was the fight on the actual Kaddish, which today seems like a mute issue. It's very much like milking cows on Shabbos. Today with automatic machines, the whole issue is probably very mute. But at the beginning of the 20th century, when Jews came back to Israel and they had to milk cows, this was the issue. How do you milk cows on Shabbos? It's an Isser Melacha. On the other hand, it's Sar Baal Echaim if you don't milk the cow. Today, mute issue. So maybe this whole thing is mute. We have a residue. Who's the cousin? Well, obviously, as Reuven said earlier, if they said it's a new minhag, obviously the old minhag, was one person says Kaddish. Now let's see Rabbi Akiva Iger. When I was a kid, I never knew there was a guy named Rabbi Akiva Iger. I thought his name was Kivagir. Because every teacher I had ever said, Rabbi Kiva Iger. So I thought his name was Kuf Yud Bet Aleph Gimel Resh, Kiva Iger. I didn't know his name was Rabbi Akiva Iger. So in order for you not to make the same mistake I thought was the truth for 25 years, I'm being nice to you today, I'm telling you his real name. Rabbi Akiva Iger. His son-in-law was, second marriage, the Chasam Sofer. They were a year apart. Imagine my father-in-law is a year apart from me. So that's the second marriage of the Chasam Sofer. Rabbi Akiva Iger, one of the greatest Lamdanim ever to live, had the following story. Bechodesh Av Taf Kuf Tzadik Aleph. I was a rabbi. In Av of Taf Kuf Tzadik Aleph, Sheechela Negev Po Ba'avonotenu Habarbim Becholei Kaleria. There was a terrible epidemic, which was a big epidemic at the time. What was the epidemic? Cholera. It wasn't a strep throat.
Cholera,
whatever you call it. I don't know. Anyone know what Tav Kuf Tzadik Aleph is? Whoever knows, let us know. We'll put it into the source sheet for people. So a lot of people died. So what happens? Everyone's an avil. It's a terrible situation that he's saying. So many people are dying, and so many people have to say Kaddish because they're an avilus. Vetikanti, and I made a takana, sha'avilim yomru biyachad ha-kaddishim. V'chanayah, meshach shana tmimah. There were so many avilim. If you do the pecking order, then it turns out that there's so many people, maybe you'll say one kaddish a month, but people feel they need it emotionally. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva Iger says, I'm the greatest lamdan, I'm a big halachist, I am such a litvak that I don't only have two minds and no heart. And ultimately, because of that, even though you all say this about me, I'm the most emotional, sensitive person. I'm going to make a takana. Everyone says Kaddish together. But here comes the subtext. Reuven knew it. Uvekechalot Hashana, Verosh Chodesh Av, Tav, Kuf, Tzadik, Bet. Sounds to be a super genius. Tav, Kuf, Tzadik, Aleph, and Av. The cholera started. So many people died. But by Rosh Chodesh Av of the next year, Shesara Choli Be'ezrat Hashem Yitbarach, no more epidemic. Tikanti Shelo Yomu Biyachad HaKaddishim. Now you don't have so many avelim. Back to the original minhag. One person says Kaddish. Zulat! Bechol yom pam echad. But once a day to make the avelim feel better, everyone said Kaddish together. So we had a choir once a day, but the rest of the Kaddishim, one person. Dahayinu tefillah Kaddish achar tefillah ha-shacharit, jemu avelim biyachad. Aval lo sharei ha-Kaddishim. Okay. So Ratzi Rabbi Akiva Iger, functioning in the 18th into the 19th century, basically says that, very nice, I heard the Chasam Sofer, he's my son-in-law, our minhag one kaddish. And only when there's a great need, like so many aveilim, everyone says kaddish together. Yeah.
Is there ever a need of his five brothers and one father passed away that they say, you know what? If it's for the father's sake, not for our sake, for the father's sake, we'll alternate the assignment.
Bruce, you're absolutely right. We're going to get to that. You're absolutely right. We're going to get to it, but I want to go slowly. Now, the Shut Chatam Sofer that we quoted earlier was in Yoredeya. You go to Orech Chaim. See, when you today, you don't have to be a super genius. You know the Chatam Sofer said something. You go to a computer program. You put in Kaddish. And you see where he mentions it. So he mentions in Orech Chaim the exact opposite of what he mentioned in Yoredeya. Anyone that wants to go ahead and reconcile the two, I'm welcome to hear. Left side of the page. Masha ra'iti b'mir batz. I saw in the Rav Yaakov Emden Siddur, everyone says Kaddish together. She know what's about truth that's about b'nei Kaddish. She doesn't want to deal with the issue. Everyone says Kaddish together. Ki yoter noach minhag ha'sfaradim shekulam omrim oto. Now comes the Chatam Sofer. This is the typical Chatam Sofer. If you would have asked me, who would be against changing the minhag of Kaddish? I would have said the Chatam Sofer. Why? Chadash asur min ha'torah. Now I'm going to do new things. This is the typical Chatam Sofer, not the one in Yoredeya that I said, wow! V'tamea alaboteinu, asher lahem ha'Torah b'yirusha mi'olam. According to what you say, Rav Yaakov Emden, I'm wondering, our forefathers, the great rabbis that lived before me, 17th century, 16th century, 15th century, let me ask you a question. They decided to waste their time, they had nothing better to do? See, everyone sort of gets Kaddish together. There would be no fights. Well, what did they do? They said, listen, we're living in the 15th century. It's medieval times. We're bored. We're being killed. So in between the time we're being killed and we're bored, we're going to sit around and we're going to say, let's assume one person says Kaddish. It's like the old Groucho Marx joke. You remember the movie where he comes in, he's the new manager of the hotel, and he says, the first thing I want you to do is take all the numbers off the doors and mix them up. And they say to him, but that's going to cause havoc. He said, yeah, but think of the fun. Well, let's think of the fun. We're doing nothing better with our lives. We're going to sit here. We're going to say, let's have a fight about Kaddish. Nothing else exciting happening. There's nothing on TV. No TV yet. Nothing on the internet. No WhatsApps coming in. So let's waste our time. Let's waste our time. Says the Chatam Sofer. Are you out of your mind? What do you think? Our great rabbis upon which our shoulders, we're sitting on their shoulders. They came ahead and wasted their time saying, who has the pecking order for Kaddish? What, the Maharam Mintz wrote a whole tshuva because he had nothing better to do with his time? And at the end of the tshuva he said, this is all for fun, I didn't really need to write it. He says, our minhag was the right minhag, and quite frankly, they didn't waste their time, that's the right thing to do. What, we're going to go ahead and say they wasted their time, they could have done one kaddish, and they decided, eh, why should we, we'll have a good time, we'll fight. And the Chatam Sofer says the whole idea of Kaddish, which we'll get to later, is one person, you should be the result upon which the people say Amen. Or I'll say that differently. Why would the people say Yehi Shmei Rabba Mevorach? Because you tell them to. Damiran Ba'amav Imru Amen Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba Mevorach. Wait, I'm going wrong here. Ba'agalav Yizman Kariv Imru Amen. Everyone says Yehi Shmei Rabba. Why? Because of me. That's the Chatam Sofer. 25 people are saying Kaddish. It's not because of you. So quite frankly, of course our minhag is correct. Rav Shlomo Eger, the son of, take a wild guess, Rabbi Akiva Eger, writes, and I quote, "Dekra michiti ma sheichelu beizah batenk teset shekol avel yomru biyachad Kaddish." I think it's awful that the one everyone saying Kaddish together. Now you're going to quote me, my father, Avi Morizal decided to say Kaddish, he didn't want it. There was a terrible epidemic. There was a little bit of a tzarech. He wanted to make people feel better. Beautiful. And he said, okay, I want to say Kaddish like the Svardim, but that's not the right thing to do. One Kaddish per customer. So to sum up this whole shir, we saw the Maharam Mintz in the Bir Halachas trying to make a pecking order. Who gets the right to Kaddish, right? Very nice. Bruce? With due respect, we said, well, I do. Everyone can say Kaddish together. Let's have a nice choir. Why fight? Who says that? Well, Yaakov Emden. The Chatam Sofer is against innovations, quoted him. Kitzah Shulchan Aruch, Tzitzah Yezer, Pitchei Tshuva, a lot of people. But, because they all said that, obviously we gleaned, well, it must have been the minhag was not like that, because why would the Bir Halacha and the Maharam Mintz waste their time? And therefore the Chatam Sofer, they didn't waste their time. Obviously they're doing the right thing by saying who has the pecking order. In between the two, we have Rabbi Akiva Eger's beautiful, emotional, sensitive psak during the year with a lot of avelim. Everyone should say it together. If not, no. Now, everyone's looking at me and saying, well, what's the big deal? Why can't everyone say Kaddish together? What's the big deal? Yes, Reuven.
We had our five levels, but clearly within any of those levels, you could have, let's say, even in during Shiva, you could have two people in Shiva, so you don't have a resolution as to how to resolve that.
Correct.
And if you have, especially if you have two people
from
the same day,
good one.
Right? For sure now you have no resolution.
Good point. All good points.
They didn't really resolve anything with
Correct.
Those levels, did they?
So the best resolution would be everyone say Kaddish, and that's it. That's what Yaakov Emden said. I don't want to deal with this issue. In order to solve all problems, everyone says Kaddish together. Now, we see that there's certain people, Poskin would say, against our minhag. And why would the Maharam mince waste his time and the Bir Halacha waste its breath after all? It must be that one person should say Kaddish and therefore they wasted his breath. Who has the right of way? Now we're going to see what the problem is. Yes, Arthur.
Yeah, I've been in shul where they've yelled Yartzeit. And the only person who says Kaddish is the person who has Yartzeit. Everyone else who has a chiyuv to say Kaddish doesn't say it.
Right. So,
that
where does that come from?
Doesn't even fit
now,
into the pecking order.
Everyone's looking at me, and I want you all to ask me, to answer me, excuse me. What is the better one of these three points of view? Should everyone say Kaddish together, like, or just one?
Well,
why everyone should say together? No fights. Reuven's problem. If you have two people in Shiva, you're like, solve all issues. Everyone say Kaddish together.
And independent of the post scheme, to get away from them, but we also have a minhag from the other half of our brethren that they do say it together. And they've said it together for, I don't know how long, but maybe forever. And so we have a basis for it, not just people coming to a new innovation, even though for the Ashkenazic side, it might be a new innovation.
Right. New? Sounds like a good idea. So why are we sitting here and saying, oh, all for one or one for all? All for one. Now we'll see what the halachic problem is. Look at the bottom of the page. Gemara and Megillah. See, until now I didn't quote one Gemara, one Rishon. We quoted Achronim, Achronim, Achronim. It was a wonderful historic shir. So if you would have told me, Rabbi, why did you start with the end? The answer is, I want to start with the end so everyone understands this was a big issue. Today it seems like a no issue. Now, what's the big issue? A simple Megillah, Gemara and Megillah, Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Bet, Tana Rabbanan. Batorah, Echad Korev, Echad Mitargem. So laning is a problem because the Jews don't understand Hebrew, or to be more precise, Biblical Hebrew. So they used to have a meturgeman, one person laned, and one person translated. You want to see a residue of this? Go to Taimani shuls, the Yemenite shuls. Ube Navi, what are they talking about Navi? Not Navi class in school. Haftorah. Echad korev eshtay metargemi. Okay, Navi is a little more difficult. Let's say Kishayahu. He's saying these superlatives. So one guy translates into English, and the other guy explains the English. It's like a Birnbaum Machzer. You ever see the Birnbaum Machzer? The Birnbaum Machzer translates the entire Machzer Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, with the exception of the Slichot after the Avoda, into English. I use that Machzer. I open it. I read the English. And nisht fashtanin avort. I don't understand one word. That's fine. We're about to... What? I'm sorry, what? Yeah, no, we're finishing here. One page. We're going to go on next week. So, gentlemen, you have one person saying the English in the Birnbaum, one person explaining the English of the Birnbaum to the people that don't understand, right? Okay, says Rashi, V'chol shekein she'ein shnayim korin. Rashi brings the reason. Why is it you can't have two people say the Torah reading, two people saying the Haftorah? Because trei kale lo mishtame. Two voices you can't understand. If you have two people saying the same thing at once, you don't hear anything. If you have two people saying Chazarat Hashatz, you don't hear anything. You're trying to get both one's high, one's low. You don't get it. You don't get it. And if you get it, halachically you don't get it. You have to hear Torah reading. You didn't hear the Torah reading if two people are reading it. Anyone understand now the problem with Kaddish? How do we have 25 people saying Kaddish if we need to listen to Kaddish and say Amen, Yeish Mei Rabbah? According to the simple Gemara, Trei Kali Lo Mishtami, two voices cannot be heard at the same time. And just in case you're saying, okay, Rabbi, you brought one Gemara, maybe there's 25 others. The Ramah says, with regard to the Haftorah, paskind in Hilchos Shabbos Haftorah, so Friday night we make Kiddush, Shabbos morning we came to Shul, it's the Haftorah, we already see the end of davening, we're getting a little happier. Shachris was terrible, the Mimkomcha, the Rabbi, the Chasen saying was awful, Vayehi ben Tzor was a big production, too many Mishabeirachs. All right, we're ready at the Haftorah, all you got to do is get through Musaf, if there's no speech, we're lucky. Here we are at the Haftorah. V'shnayim lo yamru Haftorah b'pamachat. The Treikali lo mishtami. So, I leave you all today with the question. How do we have 25 people saying Kaddish if Mefurash Gemara, you can't hear two people at once?
But more than two.
What do you think? Kol Shekein. Three, four, five. You can't hear one person giving the class. You can hear. You can't have two people giving the class at the same time. You don't hear what they're saying.
How do everybody get saved?
Very nice, but how do we do it? Trey, call. If we need to listen to Kaddish, how come we say, oh, 25 people can say it? We don't do that in Torah reading. We don't do that in Haftorah reading. We don't do it in the Chazarat HaShatz. We don't do it anywhere. Imagine you have twin bar mitzvahs. You know, two twins have the same bar mitzvah. We divide up the Torah reading. It's like the dream of every bar mitzvah boy. Baruch Hashem, I don't have the whole Torah reading. Right, you get a Parsha Nitzavim, a small Parsha, you divide it up between two. Wow, this guy says two aliyahs, they're about three psukim each, and that's it, he's bar mitzvah. And my friend, who Lo Aleinu is a regular brother, and he has sisters that are not twins, look what he had to do, a whole Parsha. So instead of doing that, the parents should be very, very strict and say, no, you both learned the whole Parsha at the same time. Yeah. Why can't you come up with that? Gemara says, "Betara echad korev echad metargim." It says Rashi, "Treikali lo mishtame." Rama paskins it, and Shulchan Aruch is paskined everywhere. New gentlemen, if that's the case, I leave you with the question: how did the Chasam Sofer, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the Tzitzel, the Yezer, everyone should say Kaddish at the same time? Treikali lo mishtame. And with this, I leave you for today. Next week, we will continue. I hope you don't sleep this week trying to deal with this question as you hear 25 Kaddishes. I'd love to hear your answers next week.